Welcome to Business Women Australia's radio show. I'm Sally Barker. Each week I'll be talking with a leading member of BWA. These inspiring business leaders are very generous in sharing their stories, insights and expertise. Joining me on the show today is Sandra Robinson from Skills Strategies International. How are you, Sandra?
Very well, thanks, Sally. Now, pleased to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Now, today we're talking about agility in the workforce. What does that mean?
Agility, I think, is an ability to change rapidly, to respond and to react. And it's a skill that we need in today's workforce, and I think we need it in education as well.
Okay, so how do we move into this sort of model of running a business?
I don't know that we choose to move into the model. I think it's sort of become part of what we're doing. I guess when I was at school, I read Alvin Toffler, Future Shock, and about how, well, everything was changing. I think information has been the big change. Like 19th century, we were doubling information every century. Now it's doubling every 12 months, and it's predicted to double every 12 hours in the future. So that puts a huge pressure on us within the workplace and within education. Most people in the workplace have things to say about the amount of technology they're having to use and how that changes, but it's also processes are changing and our customers want responses immediately.
Well, let's talk about, if we break it up into two different areas, we've got business and you mentioned education. So can we start from in education?
Okay.
So what do we need to know if we're talking about this area in education?
When I'm talking about education, I'm talking about education in terms of preparation to go into the workforce. And I would say that education is one of the most resistant institutions in terms of change currently. So in the area I work in vocational education and training, it's quite structured. We have standards that are developed by industry and they're reviewed probably every 5 years. Wow. And that's very slow in terms of what's happening in industry. And I don't think that those training packages are actually preparing the learners for what's happening in industry. They're based on skills and knowledge, and I think we need to look at the psychology of the person to be able to adapt in the industry that they're working in today.
So as educators, what do we need to know?
I mean, we're told we need to know the skills and knowledge that the job requires, but I think we need to know the type of person that's going to be able to survive and adapt. And I think we need to be preparing people, you know, for risk-taking, for adapting to the situations that come up, about working in a culture that's supportive of that. And importantly, I think that relationships play a big part here because we need to trust the team that we're working with. We need to be able to access skills and access knowledge rather than have it ourselves.
So are you talking about a certain profiling as such to find out the best industry or the best occupation for people before they are out in the workforce?
I think businesses need to be more careful about a match of the person into their business. I was talking to someone yesterday who was doing recruiting and they were recruiting on skills. And that business had a particular culture and I thought, you know, that's fraught with danger, that you really need to get a match into the business to have a successful candidate there.
And then teach the skills.
And teach the skills, yeah.
So is that what you're seeing? There's a bit of a divide? There are still companies where they're employing for skills rather than employing for the culture?
I would say most companies employ for skills rather than the culture. Okay. And I think we need to look at that differently.
So how do we do that? How do we implement that sort of change?
I think it comes through education. But then a lot of people learning's lifelong. We learn on the job. We learn and respond to situations. And I think it comes that way. But learning's everywhere. Like, the internet is full of it. I don't know why people go to a course when they just need to go to Google and search for what they're looking for.
I guess some people are still, they like that one-on-one and they like that structure of, you know, today we do this, tomorrow we do that.
And maybe that's more a counselling, consulting approach rather than a structured course approach. I think education needs to be evaluated and a new system put in place for dealing with it. I know what we do, we're dealing very much with the individual within an education program. And I think the individual is important in the workplace as well.
So you're still talking sort of your upper high school years here. Is that what you're talking
about? I'm talking about post-high school.
Post-high school.
But if we're going to be successful post-high school, we need to bring that learning style back down into the school system. And definitely there are some schools that are doing great things in being flexible and meeting student needs now. And there are others that are still very regimented. And I don't think there's a place for that regimented individual in the workplace nowadays. Definitely not in the future.
Okay, so let's use, you might have a case study. Let's use a situation where we do have someone who is in that sort of regimented mind frame, and they are in the workforce where they need to be more flexible. What's the process to sort of work through that?
Well, firstly, that sort of person in the workplace is going to be pretty stressed. And another thing that we're finding nowadays is there's a high level of anxiety both within young people and within the workplace. And I think that's because the pressures of that constant moving, when they've been brought up and used to a situation that's more structured, makes for a stress situation. And then we get, you know, the cop-outs such as drugs and crime and that sort of thing that results from not being able to cope.
I mean, there are certain personalities.
Absolutely.
Who really, they need to have that structure. I mean, I worked with a chap and at a certain time, you know, 11:37 every morning, he'd have a certain sandwich. And then, you know, at this certain time, you know, would get the keys and move. It didn't matter what was going on. This was his process and that's what had to be. That was his structure. And it didn't matter how the workforce was changed or what was going on. That's the way he operated.
And I think this is why we've got so many problems with autism nowadays, because autistic people need that structure, or anyone that's on that spectrum, they don't need to be autistic, and they work better in a structured situation. And I think that's why they're so visible now, because that structure is not necessarily there to support them.
Are there some industries where there is still that certain structure?
Oh, I'm sure there is, particularly in manufacturing, and there's workplaces that work on a very structured, you know, government, for instance. It's just that we're seeing the pressures to be much more flexible and agile now.
And we've seen that with the mobile work, the
Absolutely.
Work desk and, you know, remote workstations.
Desking and working from home, and the fact that we're working overseas, and you might be overseas and still working with the team that's local. My son-in-law works for Microsoft. He's located at home in Kingsley and he works with the team in the Asia Pacific. And they're mainly working online. So that sort of thing's happening, and that's not a one-off. That's how things work. I have staff that work off-site most of the time. So, you know, we need to be a bit more flexible in looking at those ways, and people need to be trained on how to cope with those situations.
And I think that's the key. You know, there are some people who working remotely just doesn't fit with them.
Well, they, you know, need more structure, and it's about, you know, providing them with some information on how they can structure that sort of time for themselves.
And is that how we need to really be approaching it? We need to be more flexible?
There's two sides of it. The people that are working flexibly now, they're self-motivated learners, and they're self-motivated workers, and they learn the things that they need to learn when they need it, or access the information through other people. They're coping okay and probably rising quite well within the new workforce. Whereas those that, I guess, you know, they're the late adopters, need some support to make that transition, or there's still places for them within the workforce that are more structured and that they can succeed in. But for the leaders in the workplace, it's about recognising those needs and positioning people in a situation that will work for them.
So how do you train someone to be able to change rapidly, respond and react?
We were having that conversation when I left the office today. How do you put that training in place? I think you need to train so that there is risk, that people have to deal with risk in their training. We try and put people in situations which we call enterprise learning, where they're dealing with a real sort of situation. It's obviously a simulation, but we allow them to fail. We allow them to deal with all those contingencies and problems that occur in a real life workplace. And if they fail, they learn from that failure, mm-hmm. rather than, you know, learning for a test and having a structured situation to deal with. I mean, it's very different to be in a real activity than learning from a book.
Mm.
So we need to put people in those situations where they deal with the sorts of things that they will be dealing with in a workplace.
That's okay to fail.
It's okay to fail. And part of that too is learning to develop the relationships, trusting relationships that are supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And so the work team becomes very important.
Okay, so is there any more tips that you could give us today around that area?
I think we're still very procedure driven, and I think we need to flex up on that. And I don't know how we progress with that, because there's a whole lot of rules around safety and equity, and in some ways we've become more procedure driven, while the other part of the workforce is requiring an immediate response.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a difficult situation. I think a lot of people are finding it difficult.
So you think there should be a bit of an easing up?
I think there's got to be a lot of communication and a lot of talking about it and a lot of problem solving.
Okay. And your biggest tip is don't hire for skills, hire for culture.
Yeah, hire for culture and hire for match.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us on Business Women Australia's radio show. Sandra Robinson from Skills Strategies International, proud station sponsor.